Past Legends. Past Legends.
And tonight we welcome Crows, long-standing, very well-respected administrator, and we'll go through his whole career in box and dice. Welcome aboard, Phil Harper. Welcome, Harps.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Good to be on and talking to you guys.
All right, Harps, we'll go right back to the beginning. And I did listen to a previous interview, and it's a bit of a fascinating story how you first started playing footy for Eastlake in Canberra, mate.
I'm an only child, and my parents both came from England. And they moved out to Australia and moved to Canberra, and my dad ran the research school of chemistry at the Australian National University for 30 or 40 years. So the odds of me playing Aussie rules were pretty long because I had Pommy parents and I was living in Canberra, and there wasn't much chance of me playing Aussie rules. My dad was into his soccer, and he actually played county cricket for Kent as well.
Okay.
He was a bit of a cricketer, my dad. Anyway, so that all happened. But what happened also was they said, because I was an only child, they said, look, if anything ever happens to us, these people up the road who were also Pommies, their names were Olive and Arthur Chapman. If anything ever happens, you go to the Chapman's house and they'll look after you. So they became my godparents, and the Chapmans had a couple of daughters who, when I was about 5 years old, they were about 19 or 20. One of them started to go out with the local policeman, so he used to come around in his police car, and I thought he was the ant's pants.
Yep.
I used to follow him around like a bad smell, but I also found out that he happened to be the ruckman for the Eastlake Footy Club. And so I said to my dad, I want to go and watch Bernie. His name was Bernie Smith, not the Bernie Smith.
Famous name, yeah.
Brownlow medalist.
Medalist.
He was a small back pocket, but this Bernie Smith was a ruckman, although he was probably only 6'2", but that was the size of the rucks in those days.
Yep.
And so we went and watched Bernie play, and I still remember the game. They played Marnica. They won by a point, and everyone was up and about. And then on the way home, I said to my dad, I want to play football. I want to wear the same jumper that Bernie wears. And so the next day he went down to the Eastlake Footy Club and he said, look, I've got a son. He wants to play footy with Eastlake. And they said, okay, how old is he? And he said, 4. And they said, all right, okay. Well, we're putting him in the under sevens. And pretty well, ever since that day, I've been involved in footy ever since. So I'm now 62, so 58 years later, I'm still involved in footy. And
fair effort, that. Yeah.
And I thank Bernie Smith for that.
So watching, obviously, him play, being obviously foreign to the game, what were your first initial thoughts on Aussie rules as a game?
Well, no, I really liked it. I mean, the excitement that the people got watching, and I think they won by a point or something like that, so that made it well.
Yep.
But
yep.
I thought it was a pretty brutal game, but I was just in awe of Bernie Smith and thought he was the greatest thing in the whole world.
Yep.
So I just wanted to be like him, and I wanted to play like him, and I wanted to wear the same jumper as him, and I wanted to wear the same number as him. So, that was it. I just wanted to, if he could do it, I could do it, and then maybe one day I could be a policeman as well, which probably never, ever happened. I might have got in trouble with some policemen, but never became one.
And so how long then were you at Eastlake for then, mate?
Well, I played for Eastlake from then when I was 4 years old all the way through to senior footy. I started playing senior footy with Eastlake when I was about 17 or 18. And then I played representative footy for the ACT. And when I was 23, I moved to Queensland. So I probably played 4 or 5 years in senior footy, and I think I played 78 or something games for Eastlake before I moved on to Queensland.
What are the club environments like up there, being that it's slightly different to, say, a WAS, NFL, VFL? Very insular, obviously, in the ACT there, but what are the clubs like as far as supporting football there?
Bloody impressive.
Oh, no, they're impressive. I mean, Eastlake Footy Club, if you go there and you saw the club, I mean, they always had poker machines, so that always helps. And it was interesting. East Lake went through. It's right near Kingston, the shopping town, shopping centre of Kingston, and it was a sort of an older area with a lot of young kids like myself. And then it became, and then it got too old, and East Lake ended up having. There was a period there, you know, not long after I left East Lake, where they only had sort of four or five junior teams. But then there was an influx. They knocked down a lot of the old houses. They brought in a whole heap of young people. And then I remember going back there, you know, years later, and they had a whole under-8s competition on a Friday night at the Kingston Oval. You know, so they had like 10 teams going around of young people who all lived in the East Lake area again. So it was a... It was an area that was older. We had a lot of juniors when I was there. It sort of died off a bit, but then it picked up and went through the roof again, sort of thing. So, but all the footy clubs there, and you know, East Lake Football Club, Ainslie Football Club, are massive huge clubs with a heap of poker machines and quite affluent. And I think East Lake have now bought more clubs out in the other suburbs. So I think there's sort of another 3 satellite clubs over and above the one that's in between sort of Kingston and Marnica Oval.
Wow. We had InterVarsity at Canberra in 85, Harps, and Ainslie was the headquarters for the functions. And it's pretty incredible that, Pete. You walk through the door and on the wall it had like this week's side with a photo and a huge size. You know, Pete Matthews, Phil Harper, Malcolm Atchard. And you walk through and then there was the pokies in the middle of the bar. Then upstairs was a room for about 300. Then another, again, upstairs where the last function was, because this was footy and netball in the varsity then, which obviously we didn't mind, was about 500 to 600 for dinner. It was huge.
Yeah. So no, it was massive. And I think back there's an oval at the back of Ainslie Footy Club, and it became not an Aussie Rules Oval, but I still remember seeing the last. There was a guy called, his surname was Owen, but he actually had a place kick for goal. So that tells all your listeners how old I am. So that was that was the last time I ever saw someone do a place kick on an Aussie Rules field. Wow.
Mick Klingley's the last one to do it in South Australia.
Yeah, I know Mick. Yep.
Yep.
And what was your position, mate? What was your favourite position?
Well, I sort of played all over the shop. But when I played in Canberra, I started when I was only 17, 18. I started on a wing and played in the state team on a wing. And then I ended up playing in the centre after that. And, you know, our coaches, my first coach at East Lake in the seniors, I was only there 4 years. I had 2 years of a guy called John Eamon, who came from Wynyard in Tasmania. And then my last 2 years with a great Philip Carman.
Yes, yeah. I thought it might have been Fat. I was trying to work out Fabulous Phil's time of coaching, and I was going to ask where was Phil in relation.
It was an interesting one. Phil, like an unbelievable, like you saw what an unbelievable player he was in SA and in Victoria. You can imagine what he was like in Canberra. But unfortunately, I think the first year he did his hamstring in the warm-up in the first game in the first year, but he still played the first few minutes and then went off. He redid it a few times, and so he didn't start playing till about, 5 or 6 rounds to go towards the end of the season. But he just came out and he was killing it like every week, kicking 8 or 9 goals, and he was an amazing player. And then what happened in the first semi-final, I think it was, he got done for... striking and hitting an umpire, a boundary umpire.
Yeah.
So anyway, he got found guilty. The next week he appealed it. He missed, and so he was able to play in the prelim final. He kicked 9 against Queanbeyan, and we made the grand final. But then he had to go to the tribunal. He ended up getting 14 or 15 weeks for the hitting the boundary umpire. And then from there, he missed the first 15 weeks the next year. He came out, started playing, started killing him again. And then in the prelim final that year, he got done for... There was a player who'd played for us who was playing for Cleveland. He got done for kneeing him in the guts, manhandling a boundary umpire. And then he ended up... He got off the manhandling the boundary umpire because the young boundary umpire guy was deaf and he had to stop him to find out what he was saying to him.
Yep.
That was his story. But he still got done for striking and kneeing the guy in the guts. And I think he got 6 or 8 weeks and then the club sacked him.
Yeah, look.
White line fever.
Oh, he was. So fabulous. Yeah. I've always...
He's an unbelievable player. Yeah.
Yep. I've always said Carmen's the only player I've seen who had this, what I consider the equal ability of Rob, of Barry, but white line fever ruined that. Like, the duel between Carmen and Robren in 73 and the first semi here was ridiculous. Yeah.
And to be honest, like, Phil was a great coach too. We did a lot of drills at training that were based around a game plan that he had. And so as one of my, you know, I had a lot of coaches, but I thought his drills that he ran to try and get us to play a certain way were ahead of his time.
Yes.
So he was good like that, but you're right, as soon as he crossed the white line, came a bit hazy.
Yes. So what got you to go to Queensland, Harps?
Well, at that time I got rang by Malcolm Blight and I hung up on him because I thought it was one of the, my mate's playing a joke. So Malcolm wanted me to come to Woodville. And at the same time, there was a course up in Queensland, which was the first time this course had been offered, which was in sports coaching and sports administration. You could sort of, you did all the same units the first year, and then the second year you branched off into administration or coaching. And I really wanted to get into that, and I got into that. And so there was a couple of clubs in Queensland who wanted me to play for them. So that's why I went there. Plus, the weather was an important factor, that I'd lived in Canberra for 23 years and going to the sunny state was certainly pretty appealing to a young 23-year-old bloke who was driving around in a combi. So that's what I did. I went up to Queensland and played there for three years.
Who did you play there for originally?
I played for the Mighty Maine Tigers.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The first year we were there, we played in the grand final, although I missed it. I ended up getting a corky in the state game when we beat Tasmania in the final that sort of cost me half a year. It calcified and I had to get it cut out and miss the grand final that year, which was a big disappointment, especially seeing we only lost the grand final by 3 points to Southport, who had some pretty good players in there.
And then Woodville beckoned, mate, again?
Yeah, how long were you?
So at the end of the 3 years at Maine, in the third year, there was when the Brisbane Bears first started up, they got about 15 or so of us local guys, and they put us, you know, onto the group with the Bears, and we trained our guts out to try and be ready for when the big boys came up from down south, and we trained along with them for a while, and in the end, I just wasn't quite good enough, and I missed the cut, and my mate who was playing it, who left at the same time as me from Canberra, a fellow called Terry Libbis, was playing at Woodville, and I said to him, I wouldn't mind, now that I haven't made it at this level, I wouldn't mind having a crack at the next level. And the next week they were up on a footy trip and sat down with Jeff Hosking and pretty well on the spot decided to come and play for Woodville.
What year was that?
1988 was my first year, so Russell Ebert was the coach. All 3 years I was there, Russell was the coach, and I played in 1988, 1989 and 1990.
And you played in the night series win, huh?
I'd only just got here.
Trying to work that out. Okay.
I think I played the first half a dozen or so in reserves and then pretty well played the next, you know, two years in the league side after that. But yeah, I would have loved to have played in that. But yeah, there was quite a great buzz around the club when they won that night series in 1988. And yeah, we just got, we had Stephen Nichols already. John Klug came in and played. We picked up another guy from Tassie, Scott Parsons, and another guy from Victoria, Andrew Evans. So we got a few recruits in and we did all right for a while. But, you know, unfortunately, the 3 years I was there, I think we ran 7th, 8th and 7th. So couldn't quite get it done, especially the midfields. We were playing against them, you know, like you go up against North and they got Jarman, Hart, Sims and all these guys. And then come up against Glenelg and they got McDermott and Hodgman and all these fellas. So we didn't quite have the midfield to match it with those great sides. And then, of course, Norwood had Macca and Michael
and Keith Thomas. Some
decent players in these mobs.
Yeah, people still so many Victorians have no idea how strong the SNFL was back then. And that's it's amusing.
Super strong competition, and like I love my time playing in it. And to be honest, if you know, if I had my time over again, I probably would have come to South Australia early, because I think I was about 26 when I got to play at Woodville. And so by the time the two clubs merged, I was 29, and, you know, it was probably better for the, you know, you got the pick of like 100 players then. You probably don't need too many blokes who are just about to turn 30 and playing on a half forward flank. But loved my time at Woodville, still really good mates with a whole host of the blokes at Woodville there, and go to all the Woodville past players days. And it's a great club, Woodville footy.
I know you love the 3 M's, so, you know, go with your 3 M's and explain what you mean there, Harps, but mateship is one of them, and that's where Woodville excel in. So yeah, go for it.
Yes, well, I think they said that we were a bit of a
social club loosely based around football, a footy club,
and perhaps that right, because we were very good at that. So we're probably probably premiers in that department, and couldn't quite get it done when the whips were cracking. But in fairness, those other sides were better than us. They had better midfields. We always had good forwards, though, at Woodville. I mean, all the years, I think two of the 3 years I was there, Stephen Nichols kicked 100 in 1 year, and then the last year I was there, Alan Jakovich kicked 100. So, you know, we were able to still kick a lot of goals, but unfortunately we leaked too many down the other end as well.
And then from there, it becomes the administration era starts, mate.
Yeah, well, that sort of started. I did that course in Queensland, and then I worked in junior development up in Queensland. And, you know, I had a whole big area trying to sell Aussie rules in Queensland wasn't a, you know, it's not really, you know, it's trying to like sell ice in the Eskimo territory sort of thing. I remember going out to schools out at Ipswich and, you know, in the end, I'd persist with them, but in the end, you know, a couple of the principals said, look, you need to get out of here, because there's no way Aussie Rules is ever going to get a start in this school while I'm alive, sort of thing. So I thought that was pretty narrow-minded, to be honest, and I kept persisting. But we got into a lot of schools, and we actually started up, because the very best athletes in Queensland played rugby union, you know, in the big schools, you know, like you see the Intercol here that I've watched, you know, between St Peter's and PAC. The same thing if you had Brisbane Boys College and Nudgee College playing in a rugby match, you know, the whole school's out there, plus all the alumni, and it was a great thing. So it was hard to get in. I did that. Then when I came to Woodville, I worked at the club as well in the junior development area, and, you know, help run our junior squads and 17s and 19s and all that sort of stuff for those 3 years, which I loved. And then when I went back to Queensland again and became the state director of coaching and running the as well as being coaching at Maine, a playing coach there, but I ran the Teal Cup squads and the under 16 schoolboys, the under 15s. And then I was in the midst of doing that, and I was on the way to hospital to have my daughter, who's just been on maths.
Yes.
Which is another story, but anyway.
Yep, we'll cover that a bit later.
We'll talk about that.
It's the only time I've watched maths, because maths harps,
Well, I won't go into that, but I'd never watched it before. I watched every episode last year, and I'll probably never watch it again.
Yeah, I thought you might answer that way. Yeah.
Anyway, so we're on the way to hospital when Caroline was having Eden, and the phone rang, and it was Woodville looking for a CEO. So, cut a long story short, I ended up back at Woodville as the CEO, and my wife said, "Look, we'll go back there for 5 years, but, you know, that'll be it." That was 1995, so the 5 years has now turned into 29.
Yeah, you're only a few out, Harps. Yeah, not a problem.
What was the feeling like as a player just before the merger, you know, with the Woodville being, you know, quite close-knit, a bit more social? It's never nice when clubs have to merge, but this had to happen for the sake of both club survival. But what was the feeling amongst the players at the time?
Well, it is interesting you ask that. I mean, I think the people who orchestrated the merger, which was, I think, Rex Sellers to a certain extent and Bill Sanders. They got the right people on side, because I didn't really listen much to the West Torrens side because I didn't know them very well. But the Woodville side, they had Ralph Sewer on board, and, you know, who am I? I'd been there for 3 years. and Ralph had been there for whatever, as well as a stint at the Bays. And if it, and to me, if it was good enough for Ralph, well, it was good enough for me. So, yeah, they had Ralph spruiking that it would be the best thing for the club. And yeah, and a lot of people asked me my opinion. I said, well, and they were supporters and people like Ralph. And I thought, well, you guys, this is your club. You've been here for 30 years. I've been here for 5 minutes. So if you think it's the right thing for the club, I'm on board with you. So there wasn't, from the Woodville side, there was, there was some angst. And, you know, you always lose some people in those mergers. But, you know, overall, I think it was, it was pretty good. It was done pretty well. And in the end, the Eagles have been a pretty successful side ever since. So,
And it was a smart move getting a certain M. Balm as the inaugural coach, where Balmy's so good at a social thing and so good at smoothing over troubled waters, and he was a great choice in that regard.
Yeah, I think he was. I mean, I didn't – I mean, I've had a bit to do with Balmy since. I still remember I knew I was leaving, and I told the club I was leaving, but I remember going to Balmy and saying, look, I'm not going till January. Can I train with the boys? He goes, yeah, come out. And so I remember doing quite a few training sessions with him pre-Christmas. And, yeah, he was popular already, and he'd only been there a month.
Yeah.
So, no, that was a smart choice, a successful coach, a good players man, and they did well right from the start. And then I suppose that, you know, the ones who were on the edge tipped in and got on board. The ones who were never going to be on board still didn't, and the ones who were quite for the merger did. So, yeah, you know, I think it's probably as good a merger as you can get, because
that's the best way to put it. Yeah.
And then obviously you stepping back in an administrative role. How is it coming back to that environment?
Yeah, well, I mean, I did the – I was the CEO at the Eagles, the new Eagles, for a while, and I enjoyed that. I was there for 3 years, and Bruce Winter was the coach then. And, you know, but an SANFL club, it's hard work. I did everything from – check the poker machines, to make sure the beer lines were running, to make sure someone was on the scoreboard, someone had manned the canteen, someone was down at the car park taking the money to get in to the car park. So it was a bit of everything. You had to recruit people. You had to be the player welfare. You had to be the finance man, the sponsorship guy. But I loved it, but it was
hard work.
It was long hours and hard work when you've got a young family. And then the role came up at the Adelaide Footy Club as player welfare, player development. They hadn't had that sort of a role before, full-time looking after the players off the field. So I applied for that and was lucky enough to get it. I had to take a pay cut to do it, but I thought it's probably a better job for me with a young family at that stage. So that's what I did. And again, I thought I might be there a couple of years, and I've just ticked over 27. So that's a fair while.
Liking this podcast? Please like, rate, and subscribe.